Good evening. If you'll take your Bibles and turn to Galatians chapter 3, Galatians chapter 3, we'll look at verse 1 and move on from there as we continue in our study through Galatians chapter 3 now. Starting in verse 1, it says, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are again are thankful for the opportunity to be together and to be into your word again. And Father, for this continuation in Galatians as we continue on tonight into chapter 3, we just thank you for what you're going to accomplish through this time. Pray, Father, that we've come with our hearts and our minds set at receiving from your word with gladness, that we're applying these things to our lives, that we're growing in your mercy and your grace. And Father, we just pray that you would be glorified in all that's said and done. Father, give me the words I need to preach, and we thank you for what you're going to do, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we have justification by faith, an explanation of the message of grace, a denunciation of salvation by works, a disaster, the Galatians' acceptance of this false gospel that they were so easily to accept this salvation by works. And people today want to accept that as well, but there's nothing in the Bible that tells us that salvation is by works. The Galatians were in bondage to a system of works, attempting to add to faith in order to receive a more complete salvation and in order to retain their salvation. To prove salvation by grace through faith, Paul shares a series of illustrations. We have the evidence of the gospel of grace. Salvation is by the gospel of grace. The Galatians were saved by grace, not by works of the law. Paul uses their own experience to point them to grace. In the process, he asked them five questions. The first one, what evil, malign, or satanic influence has caused you to stop using your minds, bewitched you, and to forsake the truth of Christ, which has been so clearly presented to you? Verse 1, as we read, O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? How did you receive the Holy Spirit, your new nature, and your salvation in the first place? He just puts it right out there. How did it happen in the first place? And then, was it by works of the law or by grace through faith? The Bible is very clear. It's not by works of the law. It's by grace through faith. But here they are. They've been bewitched. They've been turned to believe something that's not true. They've turned to believe something that the Word of God does not teach. Galatians 3:2 says, This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? He says, are you so foolish as to think that the salvation it took God's Holy Spirit to begin, you can add to or complete by your sinful flesh? Now, our sinful flesh is no good. What good could come from sinful flesh? None. How could we finish the work that Jesus had already said on the cross? It is complete. It is finished when he died on the cross. We know that there's nothing we can add to it. There can't be anything subtracted from it. But here they believed foolishly that what God had done, what the Holy Spirit began in them, was completed by some sinful act of their flesh? No, can't happen. In Galatians 3:3, it says, Are ye so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? Do you suffer for the message of the cross, a message of grace, in vain? What are they doing? Are they so foolish? So foolish that they believe that they're made perfect by this flesh? In our flesh, there is no good thing. The Bible is very clear about it. And then Galatians 3:4, it says, "Have ye suffered so many things in vain, if it be yet in vain? Did those who first brought you salvation and performed miracles among you do so by a message of faith or works?" Did we bring a message of works or did we bring the message of faith? And the message is clear, it's by faith. In fact, it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but it's what He did. And it's totally finished in the cross of Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:5 goes on and says, "He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Which one is it? I like these questions that Paul brings out because he wants them to think. And a lot of times that's what we need to do as we preach the Word of God, as we teach the Word of God, we need to get people thinking and understanding and then go to the Word of God, the Holy Book, and see what's in there and see how it lines up. Then Abraham was saved by grace, not by works of the law. He was saved by faith before the law even existed. How could it be anything to do with the law when he was saved by faith before the law was even out there, before it even existed? So how can we say, well, Abraham was saved that way, but we have to be saved this way? That's not the way it works. God said we're all saved the same way, by faith in Jesus Christ and that alone. Genesis 3:6 says, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness." And Genesis 15:6 says, "And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness." We see over and over that Abraham believed God, he believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. He was told by God that the Gentiles would also be saved by faith. You see, Jew or Gentile, we're all saved the same way. Every last one comes to Jesus Christ the same way. In Genesis chapter 3, verses 7 through 9, that's Genesis 3, 7 through 9, "Know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, In thee shall all nations be blessed. So then they which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham." And Genesis 12:3, again Genesis 12:3, says, "And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." We get saved the same way, by faith. In the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, only those saved by faith, as was Abraham, are true spiritual sons of Abraham. This does not mean, as some, such as the amillennialists, erroneously teach from this passage, that the church has replaced Israel, and that therefore all the promises once given to Israel now apply to the church, and that Israel will never be restored. It simply means that the Gentiles now share in the blessings of salvation brought about by Christ as the seed of Abraham. We see very clearly here, this is obviously erroneous teaching when they say that the church has replaced Israel. That's not taught in the Scripture. We did not replace them. We did not take them out. In fact, God says He is going to restore them one day. So that teaching is definitely not true. Then the Gentiles are saved by grace, not by works of the law. Praise God. Praise God, we're saved by grace and not by the works of the law. How would you know if you did enough works? How would you know? As I've said before, that balancing act of did I do enough or did I not do enough? I thank God that we can know for sure that we're saved and that we're on our way to heaven. We don't have to guess that we've done enough works of the law to get in. And then he goes on with condemnation by the law. The law can only condemn. That's all it can do is condemn. Galatians 3:10, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, Cursed is every one that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them." Deuteronomy 27:26. Cursed be he that confirmeth not all the words of this law to do them, and all the people shall say, Amen. The law cannot save. There's no way that the law can. In fact, the Bible is clear about the fact that the law was given to be a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. It had nothing to do with our salvation, but it gave us the idea that we cannot make it to heaven on our own. We need a substitute. We needed the Lord Jesus Christ because we cannot keep the law. It was just a schoolmaster to show us that we needed a Savior. And then Galatians 3:11 says, But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. It doesn't say the just should live by the law. It says the just shall live by faith. We need to live in the faith of in our Lord Jesus Christ. Then Habakkuk 2:4. Habakkuk 2:4 says, Behold, his soul which is lifted up is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. Over and over and over, the Bible tells us the just shall live by his faith. It's all about faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. This is the first, chronologically, of three times that this key salvation scripture is quoted in the New Testament. In Romans 1:17, it says, For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Then over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 38, it says, Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. We need to live by faith. I know it's easier to live by sight. We see it, we know it, but the just shall live by faith. The Bible's very clear and we need to follow it. We need to understand it's by faith, by faith, by faith. The law demands absolute perfection. In Galatians 3:12, And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. Leviticus 18:5, Ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord. And James 2:10, For whosoever shall keep the whole law and yet offend in one point, he is guilty of all. Can you imagine? You go through and you look at the law and you see what it is and what it demanded. And if you offend in one point of that law, you're guilty of every last one of them. How could we keep the law? The answer is we can't. Therefore, no man can be saved by the standard of the law. Salvation by Christ. Salvation by Christ. Christ redeemed us from the curse, the penalty of the law, by taking that curse upon himself, by dying on the cross in our place. When Jesus died in our place on that cross, it was to save the people from their sins. It was to give them the opportunity to come to Jesus Christ for salvation. He redeemed us from the curse or the penalty of the law by taking the curse upon himself. That penalty was paid in Jesus Christ. Galatians 3:13 says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, Cursed is every one that hangeth on a tree. And Deuteronomy 21:23, His body shall not remain all night upon the tree, but thou shalt in any wise bury him that day, for he that is hanged is accursed of God, that thy land be not defiled, which the Lord thy God giveth thee for an inheritance. He did this that the messianic blessing promised to Abraham might come on the Gentiles who receive the Savior and the Spirit of by faith. By faith. Over and over and over we see it's by faith, by faith, by faith we come to Jesus Christ. By faith we believe. By faith we continue on looking for that day when Jesus will come with that trumpet sound and we'll be out of here. It's by faith, by faith, by faith. Galatians 3:14, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Again, by faith. Over and over and over we see it's faith, faith, faith. That's what we need. We need a stronger faith. It's my prayer daily that our faith would increase. Our faith would increase, that we would draw closer to Jesus and that our faith would increase. Salvation was never by the law. The law was predated by salvation, by faith. Salvation by faith came first, and then the law. The law was incidental, given 430 years after the Abrahamic covenant and its promise of justification by faith through the single seed of Abraham. 430 years. It was by faith, by faith, by faith. Then the law comes. The law was to show us that we could not keep it, that we needed by faith to believe in Jesus Christ. Then Galatians 3:15 through 17, it says, "Brethren, I speak after the manner of men. Though it be but a man's covenant, yet if it be confirmed, no man disannulleth or addeth thereto. Now to Abraham and his seed were the promises made. He saith not, and to seeds, as of many, but as of one, and to thy seed, which is Christ. And this I say, that the covenant that was confirmed before of God in Christ, the law, which was 430 years after, cannot disannul, that it should make the promise of none effect." God promised that it was going to be by Jesus Christ, by faith in Him. He's not going to disannul it by bringing the law on the scene. It can't disannul it. Praise the Lord that it's in Jesus Christ and faith in Him alone that we can have eternal life, that we can have salvation in Jesus Christ. The law was incompatible with the covenantal promise of justification by faith. In verse 18 of Galatians 3:18, it says, "For if the inheritance be of the law, it is no more of promise, but God gave it to Abraham by promise." One good thing about God is that you know for sure God cannot lie. If God makes a promise, we can use that old line, you can take it to the bank. We know for sure He's going to fulfill His promise because God cannot lie. God will fulfill every promise that He has made. If you find a promise in the Word of God, you can hold true to it. You can know for sure that God's going to fulfill it. And that's how we know for sure that when it says that we will be taken out of this world, when that trumpet sounds, we can know for sure the rapture is going to take place because it's a promise of God. The law's purpose was to bring us to Christ. Bring us to Christ. The law was an insertion. Galatians 3:19a says, "Wherefore then serveth the law? It was added because of transgressions, till the seed should come to whom the promise was made." It was given to restrain sin. It was added because of transgressions, to restrain sin, because of the transgressions of man. And it was to be temporary, said, till the seed, that would be Christ, should come to whom the promise was made. Note, according to this passage, after Christ came, we are no longer under the law. Praise the Lord. Somebody should yell, hallelujah, amen. We are no longer under the law because Christ came. And according to this passage, it says, when He came, we are no longer under the law. The law was inferior. The law was given by angelic mediators between God and man, and thus involved both in a conditional covenant. Galatians 3:19b says, "And it was ordained by angels in the hand of a mediator." The promise was given by God alone and is therefore unconditional. God loves us unconditional. He makes a promise, it's unconditional. He is going to fulfill it regardless of what we do. Thank God that He doesn't have to rely on what we do in order to fulfill His promises. If He's made a promise, He's going to fulfill it. And then Galatians 3:20, "Now a mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one." The law was impotent. It was unable to save. The law, again, no one can get saved by the law. It was not given to save people. It was given to show that we can't live up to it. The law is not in opposition to the promise of faith. It was not given against the promises of God, as we see in Galatians 3:21a. Is the law then against the promises of God? God forbid. It's definitely not. Not against the promises of God. It never was. Was never intended to be. If there had been any set of commandments which could have brought salvation, then righteousness should have been by works of the law. But there wasn't anything. If works of the law could, our righteousness could save us, then somebody explains to me the cross, why Jesus had to die. Galatians 3:21b goes on to say, for if there had been a law given which could have given life, verily righteousness should have been by the law. This passage absolutely and totally refutes the contention by some groups that all the passages stating that salvation is not by the law refer only to the Old Testament law of Moses. They claim that one must keep the New Testament law / commands of Christ to be saved, and that salvation is thus by works. Why would you want to have salvation by work when God clearly states it's by faith, by faith, by faith, over and over and over? Why would we want to go back to a works-based salvation that never was intended in the first place? Righteousness could not come by the law because all sin and all fall short of the standard of the law. Therefore, we can only be saved by faith. In Galatians 3:22, it says, but the Scripture hath concluded all under sin, that the promise by faith of Jesus Christ might be given to them that believe. Before Christ came, we were under the law, but no more, no more. Christ has come and fulfilled the law, so we are no longer under the law. Galatians 3:23 says, but before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up under the faith which should afterwards be revealed. Again, Paul repeats that we are no longer under the law. Over and over and over, we are not under the law. The law was instructive to bring us to Christ. As I said already, the law was only a schoolmaster to prepare us for sonship in Christ. Roman children were put under a schoolmaster, a child trainer, a slave who cared for and served in authority over the child until adulthood. And then Galatians 3:24. Wherefore the law was our schoolmaster to bring us unto Christ, that we might be justified by, there's that word again, faith. By faith, we now possess full sonship in Christ. As sons, we are free in Christ from the law. From the law. No longer under the law. Having been saved by faith, we are no longer under the law, our schoolmaster. Galatians 3:25 says, but after that faith has come, we are no longer under a schoolmaster. This is the third time in this passage that Paul states that we are no longer under the law. The other two were chapter 3 and verse 19 and chapter 3 and verse 23. We are no longer under the law. Thank God. Thank God. Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. In Romans 10:4, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. To everyone that believeth. The end. Thank God Jesus Christ came and took our place. Ephesians 2:15 says, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Colossians 2:14 says, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And Hebrews 7:12, for the priesthood being changed, there is made of necessity a change also of the law. We are now the children, literally adult sons of God, by faith in Christ, and have put on Christ. Put on Christ. We've got Galatians 3:26 and 27. It says, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Jesus Christ. For ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. At the Roman ceremony, a liberalia, a Roman son, put on the toga of manhood and was set free from the authority of the schoolmaster. As sons, we are now one in Christ. We have got that ceremony, so to speak, of being one in Christ. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. As sons, we are heirs with Christ. Heirs with Christ. In fact, the Bible says we're joint heirs with Christ. We are heirs with Christ. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. Galatians 3:29 says, and if ye be Christ, then ye are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. What a blessing we have that we can be joint heirs with Christ, that we can be joint heirs with Abraham's seed according to the promise that God made. We are not out there on our own. We are now joint heirs. We are joined with Jesus Christ if you've accepted the free gift of eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. If you haven't, there's still time. There's still time. You can always come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ as long as we still have breath. As long as we still have breath, we have an opportunity to accept that free gift of eternal life in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are thankful for your word. Thankful for Galatians chapter 3. Over and over and over, it's by faith. It's not by our works, it's by faith in Jesus Christ. It's not anything that we can do. It's not because of the law. It's because of what Jesus Christ did when he came and died in our place. We thank you for such a clear and precise message of salvation in faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, again, if there's someone here in our midst that does not know Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior, I pray today would be that day. I pray, Father, that people wouldn't put it off, that they wouldn't say, well, a more convenient time, as we've read in your word, that Felix said, more convenient time, but that they would realize that today is the day of salvation. We have no idea what tomorrow holds. Pray, Father, that they would do that today before it's eternally too late. And we thank you for what you're going to accomplish during the time of invitation, and will not fail to give you all the praise, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.